Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. You're listening to Up North News.
Welcome back to the third hour of Up North News for this Friday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Luke Mathers picks songs, and sometimes I don't know why, but then he explains, and it all makes sense after that.
No, I picked the wrong one out of the cart at a moment here, but it's Happy Days.
Okay. All right. Well, there.
I was looking for the traveling song that I had queued up, and in a moment's notice, I didn't have it.
That's what I get for, you know, asking for an honest answer. It's Friday, August 19th. It's Dad Shirt Friday. We've already explained the history of dad shirts, so you're just going to have to go back and check it later on Apple or Spotify if you didn't catch it. You can also catch us live now on TuneIn, either the TuneIn app or TuneIn.com. You also see, if you're watching our video feed, at the Bull Falls Radio Facebook or Twitter pages, Up North News reporter Christina Laurie, who will be joining us in just a sec. But first, I wanted to take note and first off, tip my cap to Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area, because that's where Luke and I first noticed this on our Twitter pages, is that Mandela Barnes has put forth a new ad, a campaign that is set in a release to be part of a multi-million dollar campaign going out on broadcast, cable, and digital throughout the state. So before we play this and listen to the message, I just wanted to, you know, again, take note that the new attack ad against Mandela Barnes is all about the squad and the scary dark-skinned people that he would associate himself with if he's elected. And the way Mandela Barnes won his primary is with a message that connects with Wisconsin families, that his family, like yours, mine, we're all working hard, playing by the rules, just want a fair shake, and that's what we need in a U.S. senator. And he's not wavering from that, despite some vicious attacks from the right. Let's give a listen to the new ad he just released.
It's that time of year. My opponent's throwing everything he's got at me, hoping you think I'm dangerous. But I can take the heat, because here's the truth. I grew up in a working-class family. I'll fight for a middle-class tax cut. And while Ron Johnson praises companies outsourcing our jobs, I want to create manufacturing jobs here. It's when you believe in folks like I believe in Wisconsin, you don't sell them out. You go to bat for them. I'm Mandela Barnes, and I approve this message.
And of course, in the video version, you would see that he's in a batting cage or you know, taking some pitches. And, you know, again, that kind of relatability is the image he's looking for compared to, you know, Ron Johnson. And I think he understands that, you know, we're all looking for a little good news here and there. We don't need to be attacking each other all the time. And I'm very happy to say that similar characteristics are found in one Christina Laurie, our newest reporter at Up North News, and the stories that she likes working on most, and is going to join us Fridays to talk about some of those stories. Christina, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You bet. This is very nice to have this get started, because you have brought this breath of fresh air to what we're doing. And it's not like we were always all work and no play, but, you know, by and large, we put an emphasis on the news of the day, especially politics and policy as it affects people here in Wisconsin. We certainly love to do feature stories on Wisconsin food and places and people, but, you know, we don't get to do nearly as much as we would like. And one of the things that, you know, we saw in you right away was that, yeah, no problem being, you know, a street reporter for anything that's going on, but that you really have an eye for, you know, that little bit of positivity that's out there in the stories that don't get told very often. Is that something you came to over time, or is that something that drove you when you first wanted to pursue journalism as a career?
Well, Pat, first, that's overly nice of you to say. I am already employed and part of your team, so you don't need to try to convince me anymore to stay.
Well, wait till you see what that paltry raise looks like. So, yeah.
It is something I always wanted as part of journalism, and it's something that I found was missing. And, you know, I started in 2015. I actually, my first job, I started just days after a then candidate Trump descended down that golden escalator. So I got thrown right into the, you know, that fierce 2016 race. And it was a lot of, it was pretty jarring, let me just say. A lot of insults thrown at people on both sides. So I just knew I wanted to bring something different to it. So I come from the world of TV like you, and I was just trying to do something different. It's hard to stand out. So once I finally got a little bit of my own platform, I was a weekend morning show anchor at WISC TV in Madison. I thought, hey, it's the height of COVID. What can I do differently? And since I was producing the show, which for people who aren't aware, that means that you're actually writing and picking every story that's on air as well, I thought, hey, instead of slamming them with COVID headlines just to start their weekend mornings, I'm going to start every newscast with one good story. And by good, I don't mean a good, thoughtful, well-written story. I meant a positive story, something that's going to make them feel like their world isn't falling apart. We will get to the news, but we're going to show them something positive, a people helping people story, a story where they can explaining how they can make a difference in their own community. And that's what we're doing at Up North News now too. So thank you so much for letting us continue that and give people something just a little bit different.
And we're going to give some examples coming up on the other side of this break and have more in our visit with Christina Lurie coming up next. You're up north. Back now here on Up North News, Pat Breitler with Christina Lurie, and we play Chicago for a reason, and allowing Christina to maybe personalize the reason why you requested Chicago today.
Yeah, well, first, I'm from the Chicago land, but most importantly, today is my dad's birthday. So, happy birthday, Dad. I'm going to have to send him this podcast link. He's a big podcast guy.
Well, it'll be out there. And, you know, so you said Chicago is one of his favorite groups. So we're always happy to do that. I am reminded before we get back to what Christina is doing for us at Up North News, but her story about wanting to start with something positive reminds me of my very first time anchoring the weekend news at Channel 13 in Eau Claire. And it happened to be probably the one and only time that Keith Olbermann was a fill-in anchor on NBC Nightly News. So you had Keith Olbermann at 5:30 and then me at 6. And I'll never forget the text I got from my friend Chris Rushman, who said, "Olbermann and Kreitlow, I believe my TV is about to explode with all the sarcasm." Then that's our style. That's just, you know, and clearly, since neither Olbermann nor I am in the NBC Nightly News anchor chair or anything like that, I think Christina's probably on the right track, going with things that are a bit more positive along the way. When we looked for a way to share these stories, and thought, you know, especially in our newsletter, because, you know, tens of thousands of people get that every day. We want them to see, you know, one good story that maybe isn't something that's going to get, you know, a long story on the website. This is just a little nugget that we want to share. So I'm playing around with the Up North News logo, and I realize if I just isolate it to the word up in Up North News, you know, I can then add lifting in the same font or somewhat same font. And that's how Uplifting was born, and gave us a nice bit of, you know, good news to pass along the way. And so we haven't been doing it for a long time, Christina, but give folks a sense of, you know, a couple of the things that you've done with it already.
So just for anyone that's not familiar, we have this daily newsletter and we have three main stories, but then Pat was kind enough to add this fourth, and we call it Uplifting. But I just want to be clear, because a lot of times I would run into this when I'd be still working in TV and trying to pitch a story to my bosses. They understandably, if you first pitch something as, hey, I have like a really happy story, I have a really positive story, that I quickly found is not a good selling point. I mean, people want what they're calling quote unquote hard news, which they always see as something serious. What happened overnight? What is the latest breaking newest, you know, all those buzzwords that often come with TV. However, stories that are happy and positive can also be super, super one, interesting, and two, important. And three, necessary more than ever right now, because we're all so seemingly divided politically. But hey, if I write a story about how on Friday, August 19th, today until 11 a.m., you can stop by more than 70 Dunkin' locations across the state of Wisconsin, donate anything to the Special Olympics volunteers that are outside, and you get a free donut. Isn't that interesting, informative? And it's important because it's making a difference in real people's lives. And those people are our neighbors as well. So that was a way I was trying to transition us, Pat, into a quick story that we can talk about. That was one of the stories we were working on for Uplifting this week, that yes, today you only have 41 minutes left, but if you happen to have a moment that you can duck out and head to a local Dunkin', really, if you do donate, it's their annual Cop on a Rooftop fundraiser. And so we have a story up about that on upnorthnews.com if you want a whole list of locations, but you have until 11 a.m. to get that free donut.
But, and again, the upnorthnewswi.com, we don't do not forget that there's just so many up north out there. It's almost like people like being up north or something like that. But let's, you know, even beyond 11 o'clock today, Special Olympics is still, you know, very much a good cause. And it doesn't just benefit from financial rewards, but people can be volunteers or do other things for Special Olympics. You've been talking to the people there about, you know, what their needs are and what they benefit from.
Absolutely. And what's really cool about the Special Olympics is it has this, it's celebrating its 50th year here in Wisconsin. The first ever games was, you know, started by descendants of the Shriver family. The first Special Olympics was held at Soldier Field in Chicago. So it's very much a very Midwestern thing. And it's just historically brought together people and even politicians from both sides. I mean, one of the largest bumps in funding was in 2004 under then President George W. Bush. And it was like a whole, it was a whole giant resurgence and revitalization of the industry that poured so much more money into it. And it was senators on both sides that got that done. So it's just something that's a really cool opportunity for these athletes to have these lifelong experiences and make lifelong friends. What's also really cool is I was just going to pull up, the athletes, they say this, oath before they participate in any games. If you've ever been to a Special Olympics event, you can volunteer at them, like you mentioned, Pat, but it's also, if you ever see a sign and you're out on a weekend and you see like a Special Olympics track event happening in your neighborhood, stop by for 15 minutes and cheer on those athletes, because you will honestly, I mean, it's not an understatement, you'll probably make their year just by clapping for them and letting them know how well they're doing. But the Special Olympics oath, I'm just going to say it, it's let me win, but if I cannot win, let me be brave in the attempt. And isn't that just such a cool thing, Pat?
It is. I'm trying to think if there was some way that we could get more people to do that just before they start their work day, you know, that you're going for your bet. You're always going for the win, but you know, at least to try your best while you're doing it. One of your very first stories was about a young man who has been fighting cancer multiple times in his short life. And the way that he thought to express his gratitude to people, and the way that in doing so only brightened more people's days when they, you know, went to the business that had been supporting him. And that was at a Madison coffee shop, I believe, right?
Yes. You're talking about little Liam. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting, so because I used to work in TV, I would routinely be that street reporter out on the streets trying to find local stories. So I first heard about Liam when I got a tip from some folks at the University of Wisconsin Children's Hospital saying, this little boy needs an organ transplant or he is going to die. there's no skipping lines in the waiting for organ transplants, no matter how young, how old, how much money you have, if you're a Democrat or Republican, you know, you have to wait in line like everyone else. So there's this, he was then 5 years old and he needed his, he needed a new kidney. And his family was desperate. I mean, they didn't know what was going to be done. However, something that can be done, you know, they needed basically to raise money to pass the time until to give them the best chance of surviving for the longest. So that's where raising money does come in helpful for any sort of people on transplant lists. And this local business, it was just a pretty new coffee shop here in the Madison area at the time called Grace Coffee Company. Now they have about 8 locations, I think, but they just had a couple at that time. They launched this giant community fundraiser, and I covered it back when I was in TV, initially met Liam's family and the people from the coffee shop who were helping raise money for him. And they raised tens of thousands of dollars to help out his family. So the uplifting part of the story was we checked back in with him about a year after this fundraiser. He had not only made it to the, you know, time when he was going to get his organ transplant. So that money helped him, you know, pass the time to get there, but he got that transplant and he was thriving and he was hungry to give back. So we met him again at Grace Coffee, but there he was in person this time, not just his family and not just the owners, but he was there, and he was there with a mop in hand. He wanted to work the drive-through. He wanted to make the drinks and even clean up after them. He just wanted to give back to the business that gave him so much. So that was, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Pat, because that was one of the best stories that we did and helped kick off this whole positivity effort.
Well, and it really helped us, you know, explore why is this kid who has been ill through much of his life, why is he working? Why has he got a mop in his hand? What's going on at that coffee shop? What kind of child labor thing is this? And of course it's not. You realize it's, you know, he gets to be with the people who helped him. And, you know, what does every kid want? They want to be like the grownups. They want to do some of what they do. It probably didn't hurt that, you know, the shop has a mascot that he really liked as well.
Yes, a dog named Diego, who is a mascot. I'm not good at dog breeds, so I'm not exactly sure what kind of dog it was. It's just a massive dog, and you see him next to this little 6-year-old, and it looks like, you know, like the proportions of a horse to one of us. So it was a giant dog, and it was so cute. I went out to the shoot, and I texted you some pictures from it. And I think you questioned me at first. You were like, he is doing this out of his own heart, right? Like, they're not putting him to work. It's like, no, this is a request. I know it's weird. Like, not most kids want to clean, but Liam does.
And he did. And when you then see the video, I mean, it just, you know, it just makes you kind of melty at, you know, to see him so happy to be interacting with people and not, you know, in a hospital bed or, you know, getting poked and prodded by doctors and nurses and everything else. We've got just a little time before our next break, Christina. So I wanted to bring the focus, you know, back to you and your own path to getting here. You said you grew up in the Chicagoland area, and then where did life take you before you got to Channel 3 and then here to Up North News?
So because it's my dad's birthday, this is a great time to mention that we are a deeply rooted Illini family. So sorry to the Badgers listening to this, but
okay.
we're both part of the Big Ten, and I did grow up in Illinois. So I want to reinforce that, you know, I went to the state school. My dad, that's probably like one of the best qualities he would list about me, is that I went to Illinois, you know, and carried on the family tradition. So I went to Illinois, and then in 2015, I graduated and just immediately jumped into journalism. It was kind of something I just happened across, because I initially, that's a story for a different day, but I thought I was going to be a lawyer. Then once I decided I was going to do journalism, it was just my last year of college. I went for it. I applied for jobs. I know Iowa was a really hot spot if you wanted to get into journalism and cover some politics that first year. So I moved to Moline, Illinois, joined a TV station there, and worked there for 2 years before coming to the Madison area in Wisconsin. Been here ever since, and I understand why all of you love Wisconsin so much.
And apart from the professional endeavors, I'm just going to quickly add the one thing that I won't say sealed the deal, but my one of my daughters is very active in the group Girls on the Run. And as soon as I saw that on the resume, I'm like, here's a hardworking volunteer person. So maybe we'll talk about that and much more in our next segment with Up North News reporter Christina Lurie. After this, you're up north.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Christina, what's your dad's name?
Dave.
Dave?
Yes.
All right, Dave, here's another one for you. Happy birthday. Christina Lurie joins us on a Friday, as we talk about some of the news that she does for us in the uplifting segment of our newsletter. But before we get back to all of that, I do take great pains to point out that there's a lot more to the work that Christina does for us, and does include some very poignant news stories, not the least of which is your recent interview with a woman up here in Chippewa Falls, who, as we've talked about many times on this show, is among the many women who are more willing than ever now to share their abortion story so that people understand the real ramifications of what people are debating in political circles, that these are not political issues. These are health issues that have real impact. What was that like getting to talk to Heather Martell, sharing a rather heartbreaking story of hers from a year ago?
Well, I think it's great to bring up that story in this context of a, you know, more good news show as well, because her story on its face, it's, you know, a woman in her mid-30s had an abortion, she had it last year, so before any of this recent Roe Wade stuff happened, and it was still even then considered a late-term abortion, and it was not allowed here in Wisconsin. So even though she's from the Chippewa Falls area, she had to drive all the way up to the Minneapolis area to get that abortion. She had to go out of state. So on its face, that's not a super positive story, right? However, you talk to Heather, you hear from her firsthand, and you hear what she's trying to do to help advocate for other women and be so honest about such an intimate emotional story for her. I mean, she was far enough along in her pregnancy that she did not personally want to get abortion. To get an abortion, she medically needed one. Her, fetus was having fetal seizures and wasn't going to make it. So, she was so far along, she had plans. She had a name for her child who she knew would have been a son. So, it's stories like that of, you know, that make this uplifting news that we're talking about also purposeful, because she had such a positive attitude. And she's doing everything she can on behalf of herself, her family, and Oliver. She keeps an urn with his ashes next to her bedside table. She does everything for them. So she's super outspoken. I know you've even had her right here on this program.
We've heard from her, and she, has that story to tell, and how that can, in fact, be a proactive decision for a parent to make, however heartbreaking it is. And so I did really appreciate the way you helped bring her story to us. We were talking earlier.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to, in case people aren't familiar with her story, I just wanted to bring up the two aspects that I don't think that you might not have mentioned before on the show. Two things that really stood out was, personally, I was raised in a super Catholic family. And, you know, you're raised and taught that abortions are a sin. And that was something that really stuck out from Heather's story, because she also believed that. She's married to a very devout Catholic man. And, you know, he had those same thoughts as well, as so many people do. And you're meaning well. It's not like we as Catholics are trying to cast the shame on you. That's just what we're told. And hey, like, if you just think about it, it makes sense, right? You know, you're not trying to end lives. You're trying to bring lives into the world. But if you go back and you listen and hear Heather's story, you'd realize why we should probably listen before we always just, you know, project our own beliefs and feelings on someone else. And then just the second thing quickly that really stuck out is that her husband, in addition to being a Catholic, is a Republican. And you don't often see nowadays relationships where one person is a Democrat and one person is a Republican and they're still married and they still really like each other. So that's a really, she has interesting things to say about that, because they're very much a partnership and her husband very much respects her and her beliefs, and she respects him and his, and they're able to even find common ground on something as controversial as abortions.
Well, that's just it. Beliefs or values are just that, you know, until they're actually tested in some way, shape or form. And we again want to thank Heather for sharing that. Christina Loria is joining us on this Friday morning as we talk about some of the stories that she's been working on for us. We already talked a bit about how Special Olympics is going to benefit from a fundraiser event that happened this morning over at Duncan, the law enforcement torch run and the role that it plays in it. And the Packers play tonight. And I believe that, were you telling me that there's a tie in there as well?
Yes. So first, just, you have 22 minutes left. So if you happen to be in your car right now and near a Duncan, you can swing by and donate. And anything you chip in, you'll get a coupon for a free donut. And if you donate $10, you'll get a coupon for a free coffee too. And that money all goes to the annual Cop on a Rooftop fundraiser, which has to date raised almost more than $400,000. I think they're nearing on that $500,000 mark for Special Olympics Wisconsin. And tonight the Packers are going to do an awesome job of welcoming some of these Special Olympics athletes to their game. I mean, how exciting is that for those men and women? I mean, this is coming. Hey, we talked about how I'm from Chicago and I'm a Bears fan, and I even understand the excitement and importance of that. So tonight is the annual Packers Give Back game. And so it's between, obviously, Packers are playing the Saints. And this is the second year that they're inviting hundreds of athletes and their family members. They're giving them a free bus ride to the game, food and drink, gift cards at the game, and they get to cheer on the Packers in a designated area in the north end zone. And before kickoff, they're even going to get welcomed on the field. They're going to walk on there with the Special Olympics torch, which you always get chills when you see that Olympic torch, right? And then all the fans in the arena are going to say the athlete oath that we mentioned earlier with those athletes. So if you want to practice, if you're going to the game, it's easy. 3 sentences. Let me win. Oh no, only 2 sentences. I was counting a comma. Let me win. But if I cannot win, let me be brave in the attempt. So that's just a cool feature of tonight's game. So if you're in the Green Bay area, maybe check that out.
It's going to be great. Let's talk about one of your most recent stories and then one that you're working on. One of the most recent, I tried to put a spin on it from the book, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, and went with If You Give a Class a Calf, because I did not know this was a thing, but apparently it's adopt a cow season. Tell us about that.
It is. And I love that you understood that reference when I put that in. You know, you never know as an editor. I'm like, is he going to remove it? Is he a big Lauren Numeroff fan as well?
Oh, I'm going to out yourself as being too young to understand my musical references soon enough, but go ahead and tell more about Adopt a Cow.
Of course. I hope you get all of my book references, because I have mentioned my dad. My mom's a reading teacher, so I do throw a lot of reading references in my work as well. But yes, the Adopt a Cow program, you can, classrooms actually across around the world can register to be a part of this. And basically what it is, it's free. You just fill out this form online, and any teacher can do this, any principal. You can do it even if you're a Girl Scout troop leader or Cub Scouts. And it's called Adopt a Cow. We have a link on our website if you're interested. And what you do is they pair your classroom with a local Wisconsin farm who is raising a calf, and you basically follow that calf through the first year of her. I think all calves are girls, right? That's something I
know. No, calves are just junior cows cattle of all sort.
Okay, great. Again, I'm from Illinois, not need to brush up on this Wisconsin jargon and learn more about calves, but
you're doing fine.
maybe I'll sign up for this Adopt-A-Cow program since I obviously need this lesson, but you basically,
I know Luke was interested. We can see if the show can maybe Up North News can adopt a calf. I don't know.
We'll want one. I want one so bad.
I can hook you guys up. So maybe I'll do that right after the show, but you basically follow them through the first year of their life, and they send you pictures along the way. They send you information. They let you know how big they are right now, what they're eating, how they spend their days, how many hours they're sleeping versus eating. You know, they break all that down for you. And it's the important thing is that it connects classrooms to parts of, you know, their community that they might not often get out into. You know, there are so many rural farms here in Wisconsin, but if you live in a city, whether it's Madison, Milwaukee, anywhere else, you know, you might not come across these calves in your daily life. So it's cool to learn where your food and milk comes from, and, you know, some lifelong lessons along the way.
Here's a new lesson for you to learn. A female calf is sometimes called a heifer calf.
Okay.
A male is referred to as a bull calf. So both genders are calves, and sometimes they go on to be called veal instead. But that's a story for another day. Let's stick with how they grow up, and some of them become dairy cows, providing the milk that we have with our cookies. And that takes us to what you're working on next, which is Girl Scout cookies, and how they are a dynamic bunch. I mean, yeah, some people get the same Thin Mints year after year after year, but there's more to them than that when it comes to the palette of flavors that they have.
Definitely. What a smooth segue there. It's almost like you're experienced in this. So this week, the Girl Scouts announced their new cookie flavor is going to be Raspberry Rally. So it's basically described as a sister cookie to the Thin Mint. It looks very, very similar to those. And that's on purpose. I think they're trying to make something that might stick around this time, because you might have noticed, like, the Girl Scouts, they introduce new flavors almost every year, and they routinely cycle in and out. You know, some last for 2 years, some get cut after three, but, you know, it's that 2 to 3 year window, and, you know, it's just a flash in the pan. So this one, I think they're hoping to stick around, but that just sent me down a deep dive, because, hey, who doesn't like cookies and doing their research on those? That's right. A hard job, right? So I'm currently working on a whole list of all of the, I've called it the Girl Scout cookie graveyard, the flavors Wisconsin Scouts have sold over the years. And so far, I think I found more than 40 so far.
Really?
Do you remember? I was a Girl Scout. So I was a scout in the early 2000s. I was, you know, standing outside my local Walgreens, and my favorite cookies at the time were called Animal Treasures. They were a shortbread cookie, and then on the bottom, they were coated with chocolate, and they, you know, had pictures on the front of endangered species. So that's probably what stuck out to me as a kid and why I liked them. But they lasted for about 4 years, and then they turned into a lot of times the Girl Scouts, they don't necessarily get rid of a cookie completely. They just reinvent it. So they branded it in a pretty smart way. They actually called them Thanks-a-Lots. So they replaced the animals on the front with like a thank you message, which, you know, is pretty smart, because if you're a scout, you can, you know, maybe your parents will encourage their scouts to buy a couple extra boxes and attach them to everyone's order as a way to say thank you. I thought that was really smart branding, and those were super popular, and I think they lasted until 2014, and then those got discontinued as well. Do you remember any former flavors, or is one of the currents your favorite, Pat?
There, the couple that I recall that didn't make it, there was a toothpaste flavored cookie. There was mashed potatoes and gravy. You know, just some of the oddball things that they tried. No, I'm not serious about either one of those, but I remember when they're called both Samoas and Caramel Delight.
Yes.
Depending on, you know, where you get them from. And I remember when they were brand new and I was in love, and I have never gone back. I mean, that's all I get, is I just stock up on that. Maybe the token box of Thin Mints. But yeah, I'm a rigid creature of habit, but now I will have to try a couple of these new ones once they become available. And Christina's story will be coming out soon on that. So this was fun. Thank you. Let's do it again soon.
It was great. And I know we almost have to go to break. If I slid in a fun fact, Thin Mints never can be gotten rid of. Those are permanently on the Girl Scout menu, but Samoas are not permanent. They could be in jeopardy of being retired someday.
Not with my purchasing power. They wouldn't.
You got to make sure you stay up on that.
I know. All right, Christine, thanks so much. Talk to you a little later. Have a great day. All right, we will be back to wrap up our conversation with you in just a moment. You're up, North. Well, there we go. The intersection of a great Friday song and a Packers song, and the Packers playing on a Friday night. So that takes us through the rest of our Friday morning here. Well, if there's one person who is especially happy with the way things have gone this week, it would be Charles Franklin, the director of the Marquette Law School poll, mainly because the one thing you always like is, we talked earlier about how polling is not an exact science. So it's always helpful if there's another poll right in the area and you find out that your numbers aren't too far off. And Franklin tweeted yesterday that it was Christmas in August that the new Fox News poll of the Wisconsin gubernatorial and Senate races, a day after the Marquette poll, showed some very good agreement. Marquette poll had Evers up by 2. Fox News has him up by 3. Marquette poll had Mandela Barnes up by 7. Fox has him up by 4. And that, as we talked yesterday with Joe Zepecki, there is some high party loyalty with independents for the Democratic candidates. So that bodes well for Democrats in Wisconsin. Meanwhile, in Pennsylvania, where the Republican candidate for governor is somehow even much further to the right of Tim Michaels, there's a little bit more concern that Doug Mastriano has a chance to win. Somebody who was present at the insurrection, who is, you know, easily shown to be, you know, the extremist that he is. And he was somebody who was opposed by a lot of Republicans heading into the primary. There was a very explicit effort to get anybody but Mastriano on the ballot. But as the New York Times is reporting, more and more Republicans, instead of saying that they're going to sit this out or maybe even vote for the Democrat, Josh Shapiro, they are rallying around one of their own and embracing somebody who is going to be appearing later today with Governor DeSantis from Florida, and continue to embrace the lies that President Trump has been putting out, talking about how if he were governor, he would be able to decertify any or all of the election voting machines in the state. That's just for starters, not to mention that he has said that the whole notion of my body, my choice, he has ridiculed that when it comes to a woman's reproductive rights. And, you know, and yet he has a fighting chance right there. And it's going to come down to those independent voters who currently favor the Democrat, Shapiro, but we still have 80 days to go. And a lot can happen in terms of not just what the candidates say, but the framing of the candidates by the media. There was such a good example yesterday of how not to frame a political story and how to frame a political story. And you're going to hear a lot of that press critique here, because that is a big part of, you know, why we started Up North News and why other news outlets have come on board, because it's not that mainstream media is liberal, not by any stretch. It's that they're not extreme right, and that sometimes in their effort to both sides something, they're not as factual or accurate as they could be, and in sometimes they do a disservice in the way that they parrot the talking points of somebody that is completely wrong. In this case, the example I'm going to give you is, I'll start with the bad example, and it comes from, you know, from the Associated Press. I mean, they are the gold standard in objective journalism. I don't want to take anything away from them on that, but they muffed this one in terms of the headline and the tweet that they put out, and it reads as follows. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced criminal charges against 20 people for illegally voting in 2020, the first major public move from the Republicans' controversial new election police unit. Now, you hear that, and again, it's all accurate. It's all factual that 20 people, you know, are about to be charged with criminally voting. And it feeds into the DeSantis-Trump Republican narrative that there is a massive voter fraud problem in this country. And then you read the one from the New York Times, an outlet that I have often already held up for the terrible job they do framing a story, but in this case, got it right. Theirs reads, Governor Ron DeSantis said 17 people have been charged with casting illegal ballots in the 2020 election, in which 11 million Floridians voted. There is no evidence that election crimes are a serious problem in Florida or anywhere else in the U.S. That is as thorough and accurate as it gets in just the very beginning, the headline, the tweet that you put out about a story. And that is what is needed, is perspective. You know, 17 to 20 people, yeah, it's a number. You know, it's a little concerning that it's not zero. It's never gonna be zero. There's always gonna be cheaters and everything, but in no way, even unintentionally, should we allow that to be framed as a way to feed into a false narrative, a demonstrably false narrative that there was widespread fraud in 2020 and that therefore there is less credibility given to President Biden as having won the election. Well, these kinds of things are going to continue, and we need more watchdogs essentially holding the press accountable of all stripes, of us, of anybody that's center right, of anybody that's, you know, to the fringes one side or the other. We need that. And one of the people best known for it just got fired. Brian Stelter is leaving CNN after its new ownership canceled Reliable Sources, which is its Sunday morning show that really holds up a spotlight to the media of all types. And Brian puts together, along with Oliver Darcy, an extremely thorough newsletter every morning that looks at examples just like the one that I gave you and, you know, points out where they could have done a better job. And all of us as journalists could always do a better job, and we should never be afraid of criticism. And Reliable Sources has been a mainstay of CNN for decades. And Brian Stelter's been there for, I think, 9 or 10 years. And is being shown the door as part of the new ownership that says they're trying to evolve back into the kind of journalism they once started with, according to the new ownership, which essentially as new ownership that, you know, has been, and I'm not going to say friendly with Donald Trump, but certainly has not held him to a high enough standard, is very concerning that what is going to start happening to CNN is to try to be Fox News light, or just as bad, to try to go that way of both sidesism that simply parrots a politician's talking point, even when they are knowingly lying and not calling them out for it, simply parroting it in the name of, you know, both sides. It's a troubling development and one that we're going to continue to monitor at CNN and elsewhere and try to do the best job we can here for you in Wisconsin. With that, that'll wrap up Up North News for this week. Catch us online at upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great weekend.